بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Firstly, to discuss a few sunnahs of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to realize how important is the sunnahs of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that our object and purpose of life is la ilaha illallah, to find Allah, to get Allah. But it is impossible to get Allah without Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the greatest gift is the love of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala says, if you want my love, or if you think you got my love, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. O my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inform my servants, if they want the love of Allah, or you think you got the love of Allah, then see, are you following the life of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So the sunnahs of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are extremely important, and that is why we should make dua to Allah Ta'ala to give us tawfiq to learn the sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and make every effort for this. And then Allah should put the love of every sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our hearts. Even those sunnahs that maybe in today's time it's not practical to practice upon, but a person should have the love for those sunnahs of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then make an effort, concerted effort, to practice on the sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In other words, to become conscious. Many things you might be doing also, it might be according to sunnah, but you're not conscious. You're just doing it out of habit. So you won't get that reward. And especially in today's time, to bring alive one sunnah, 100 shaheed sawab. And what it means to bring alive? Just to practice on the sunnah. So make the word sunnah also, the environment of sunnah alive in our homes. Then we'll see the nur of Allah will start coming back into our homes and spread in society, inshallah. And then make an intention that Allah use me to spread the sunnah throughout the world. We make our intention vast, and then how much we can do, we should do. Allah gives reward according to our intention. So Allah give us tawfiq. We were busy discussing the sunnahs with regard to entering and leaving the toilet. Last week we learned that sometimes a person is traveling and he needs to relieve himself, there's no toilet around, then go and look for a place where it is at least a bit concealed. There's some grass, etc., or a tree. Don't just relieve ourselves like today, animals in front, just next to the car or something, or standing and urinating. No, go and look for a place that is at least concealed. Go more down and then look for soft ground. Don't relieve yourself on such a place where the splashes of urine, etc., because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us that many people are being punished in the qabr because they didn't take care with regard to urine splashes. And this is even at home when we relieve ourselves, especially our children, etc., training them. We should train them never ever to just relieve themselves anyhow. In which a person should be careful about urine splashes, etc. Today we learn the next sunnah is sit and urinate. Do you not urinate while standing? It is extremely important. This has become very, very negligent today, especially with children. Every house has got now a high toilet. So when they go toilet also, they're just in a rush, just standing and urinating. Parents, it is their duty and responsibility. Like we are taught that a child is immature. He is not mukallaf. He won't get the sin. But who will get the sin? The parents who are supposed to be training the children. So it's extremely important and the responsibility of children to see, of parents to see that they train their children properly. Then the next sunnah we learn, after urinating, if one needs to dry himself, he should do so behind some barrier, that is a wall, etc. That is if you you have to relieve yourself somewhere where there was no toilet in your own home, then as soon as possible, try and wipe yourself, and if you want to, and then wear your clothes immediately. Allah give us tawfiq to bring alive the sunnahs of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this will come in this eagerness, and this love will come when we do our course in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the guidance of the mashayikh, our shaykh, etc. And we see when we do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are reading certain poems in between the zikr. The poems are not the object of the zikr, but these poems are a dua to Allah ta'ala. You're making dua that, oh Allah, why am I making zikr? So grant me these things. And these poems are to increase our connection and our attentiveness. Otherwise we find we're making zikr also and we start in a beginning 2-3 times and then we're falling off to sleep. Zikr is not a sleeping session. This is actually you taking your spiritual medicine. So a person should be alert. So while we're making zikr of Allah, the few poems that we say, we're just trying to give a brief translation so that a person, even if you still don't know the Arabic, but you can just think little that this is what I'm asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So previously we learned this poem that when a person is making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he says, koi mujhse poochhe, main kya mangta hu? Main apne khuda se khuda mangta hu. Why are you making zikr of la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah? After every 8-10 times you complete the whole kalima, Muhammadur Rasulullah, then the thought comes in your mind and you say, ya Allah, if somebody asks me, what am I asking? Somebody say, what these people, they're making zikr. They got no time for other work. They're sitting and making zikr. So if somebody asks me, what are you asking for? Says, you don't know. Main apne khuda se khuda mangta hu. The greatest thing I'm asking for, I want Allah. I'm asking for Allah Himself. And like our Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah and his daughter, this is the object and purpose of life. So much so that if you got the opportunity to stand at Multazam, right at the door of the Kaaba, where all the Anbiya put their chest and made dua, duas are accepted very quickly there. If you made dua for everything, but you didn't ask for Allah Himself, you asked for nothing. And if you only ask for Allah Ta'ala, that, oh Allah, I want you become mine and make me yours, you ask for everything. So this is the object of zikr. That it will start on the tongue, and don't think by just saying this that I'm asking for Allah Himself, I got Allah already. No, this is a continuous effort, as we will learn in the next kitab. How important is this effort that you do a cause in the zikr of Allah? What does this mean, a cause in the zikr of Allah? You put your hand in the hand of a sheikh and say, now I will take your treatment, and I will follow your instructions, how to get connected to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And then when a person says, now koi mujhse poochhe, main kya mangta hu, main apne khuda se khuda mangta hu, then you'll understand the reality. Then somebody is asking me, what am I asking for? That I do want nothing, I only want my Allah. And this is the greatest thing to get. And then a person says, ya Allah, wo ho jai mera, main ho jau uska. That, oh Allah, I become yours, you become mine. Yahi raat din mein dua mangta hu. So now this is your dua day and night. In other words, your fikr day and night. Zikr will start in the on the tongue. That you'll just be making in a start. Like many people, they say we're just making zikr. We don't feel any effect. Allahu Akbar. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, that don't say that you're not getting benefit. Make shukr that Allah is allowing you to take His name. So it will just start on the tongue, but then when you see when that spark starts sparking, then you'll realize what was the object and purpose of taking the name of Allah. That now it's not just taking Allah's name, Allah's love starts coming in the heart. And then you are worried now, am I living a life? Is Allah happy with me or not? This is that you want Allah and Allah becomes ours and you become Allah's. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Then we are doing this period, this very, very important course of Anwarus Salah. That is how to make our Salah, our Namaz, a real Namaz. And Namaz is that great, great ibadat which Allah has given us on a golden tray. Not just on a golden tray, with the greatest personality. Allah took him, took Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam for Miraj. And then Allah Ta'ala presented this honorable gift for us. So what a honorable gift. all other commands, Jibreel came to the earth and he presented it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This command Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Jibreel, go and bring my beloved. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken right till the arsh of Allah ta'ala and then presented. So what is this object of namaz? Like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for Miraj. Every person, Allah ta'ala says, oh my Nabi, my servants also will want to be connected to me. So go and teach them how to get connection is the salah. And once you get your salah come right, your whole life will come right. So this is the period which is extremely important. And like Hazrat explained, even if we sat here many times, you might have come for itikaf many a times. Don't think, no, I did it, so I don't have to pay attention. No, come as if you never did this program in your life. And see, every time you realize, oh, I thought I'm reading namaz. Even if your namaz was improving, you still think that, hey, well, I didn't do it. I didn't read any salah. And that is a good sign. So Allah give us tawfiq. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadi allazina astafa amma ba'd. Faqad qala Allah ta'ala fil Qur'an al-Majid wal Furqan al-Hamid. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi rahman ar-rahim. Qad afla al-mu'minun allazina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. Sadaqallahu al-Aliyyul Azim. We were busy discussing with regard to how a person stands attentive with devotion, concentration in salah, and then his salah starts becoming a salah of reality. For that there were few points, and this is actually a bayan of Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullahi. Was a very, very great personality, and he actually gave his life and became a shaheed in the time when the British were ruling India. So he gave this bayan to his murids, and then this bayan was written, but then this kitab was, so to say, extinct. It wasn't found. Then one of the murids of Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Mona Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi, Sufi Iqbal Sahib Rahmatullahi, he found this kitab, and his other friends, when they saw this kitab and this bayan, they said, what a bayan this is. It must be retranscribed. So he rewrote it and just put some extra footnotes. And then we see how great this bayan is. And then how Allah puts in the heart of our friends of Allah Ta'ala how to give them important medicine for our spiritual reformation. Our Shaykh says that when he started this program of itikaf over 30 years ago, that time Hazrat was now thinking that this period what we should do. Then Hazrat went into his library where all his kitabs were, and his hand just fell on the small kitab. And he took out this kitab and Allah put it in his heart, this must be the subject. And from that time Hazrat was teaching this kitab. And what a kitab this is, that if a person realized, your whole life will, first of all, your deen will come right. Deen come right, your dunya will come right. Then your whole life, then you will see what Allah has given us in salah, it will do everything for us. Then we'll understand that how Sahaba understood this reality, that anything you need, to resort to salah. And how they used to resort to salah. So we learn that the first thing a person should realize, the few points we're just revising quickly, one is the importance of salah. And for this, that is why Fazail-e Amal is read. This is to make us realize the importance of salah. Secondly, a person realizes and thinks over and over, that salah is never a burden for me. It's not a penalty that Allah Ta'ala has put upon my head. No, this is a very, very great ni'mat of Allah. That Allah made you the best of all creation. And then Allah Ta'ala gave you the great honor with stress. That you the best of creation, but you have got lot of needs which you don't even know of your own needs. So you come to my court every day. Allah invites us to the court of Allah. Let you come and beg me for your needs. And I'll fulfill your needs. So 5 times a day with great stress. And this is a special favor of Allah. That Allah Ta'ala did not put anybody by the door. No doorkeepers, no guards. That they are doing us a favor. Although today Shaitan has made such an effort over our masjid, that certain people think that no, the masjid belongs to us. So we can give you permission. You don't have a mask, you can't enter. This is all because we haven't appreciated this ni'mat of Allah. When the masjids were open, we thought, when I feel like, I'll go. When I don't feel like. So Allah Ta'ala is showing us that you don't want to come to my house, I'll lock the houses. Then what's going on? Now we crying tears. We should be crying now tears of blood and making tawbah. That still in certain places, certain countries, Hazrat explains, there's a curfew. People can't go for salah from Maghrib, Isha, no Taraweeh. We should be crying to Allah. Yes, oh Allah, open all from Haramain Sharifain. It looks like, mashallah, namaz is taking place. But how sad, the social distance in the Haram. And Allahu Akbar, how the Haram this time of the year should be buzzing. Today it's like a sad thing. We should be crying. That is the markaz of Hidayat. That door opens, the whole world masajid will open. With all these conditions, Allah will remove. So we should be begging Allah and realize this is a great ni'mat of Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala knows our laziness. Sometimes we get lazy, or sometimes the shaitan puts the thought that you're sick, etc. So to remove that, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned certain warnings that if you don't come for salah, this will happen to you. This punishment. So that punishment is not that Allah wants to punish us. This is a mercy from Allah. That don't become lazy. You don't know what you'll be losing out. This is where you have to come for your success, etc. The third thing we learn is that a person now, when you come for salah, then you have to come with an attentive heart. And how to gain this attention, this concentration and devotion in salah, this is very, very easy. Deen is not hard. Deen is not difficult. Some people think concentration and devotion is, I must be absorbed in my namaz. I mustn't know what's happening around me. Somebody came past, you don't know. No, that is not concentration and devotion. Concentration and devotion is that, so beautifully ulama have explained here, Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali says, that in every posture, if you just think for 1 second also, that I am in the presence of Allah. I am standing, I am in the court of Allah. I am in ruku, I am standing, I am making ruku for Allah. So that is concentration and devotion. And then further than that, if a person starts learning the meanings of the basic du'as, the basic surahs that you are reading, and now you just think, I'm reading the... One is, you don't know the meaning, but you think, I'm reading this ayat. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Now I'm going to read Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That is a higher level of concentration and devotion. Then if you learn the meaning, and a person is aware, and especially you come to learn basically ayats of Rahmat, Allah's mercy, in your heart you make dua, Allah grant me your mercy. You read the ayats of Jahannam, you beg Allah in your heart, save me. And further, if a person learns the meaning even more, then the warnings of Allah Ta'ala that will cause harm to our iman, what you are reciting, like Allah says, Ala la'natullahi al-kazibin, beware the curse of Allah on the liars. Now you realize, hey, I must stay far away from the sin. This will cause harm to my soul, it will harm. And then there are certain higher levels for as people progress. So concentration, and then Muhammad Madani Rahmatullah has made it even easier. That in your whole namaz, if just one time you thought I'm in the court of Allah, that is a pass mark. That means your namaz will at least be accepted as a namaz of concentration. Then for 4th point we learn, when a person realizes what a great gift this is, what a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so in order to appreciate it, then a person comes to the court of Allah with all the proper etiquettes, the proper respects. You don't just come how you want to the house of Allah. Like how today, sadly, we just rush into the masjid, don't care what kind of clothes we got, etc., whether we entered the masjid according to sunnah, our istinja, whether we made properly, our wuzu, we just were in a hurry, just made fast. No, all the etiquette a person has to learn. How to make your istinja properly, make your wuzu properly, dress properly, coming in the royal court of Allah Ta'ala. So a person should be conscious that I must enter properly with my right foot, with all the du'as, etc. And then further Hazrat explains that now in reality what is concentration and devotion. Concentration and devotion can never be achieved without a person having the basic knowledge of what is farz in namaz, what is wajib, what is sunnati muakkada, what is mustahab. This is basically what is farz. And Hazrat Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh has mentioned this, that this is basically not something else that we thinking at absorption. I mustn't know what's happening. No, that is not. If you don't know your farz, like the first takbir, to say Allahu Akbar, to raise your hands, that is sunnat. But to say the first Allahu Akbar is called takbir-e-tahreema. And you have to say it so loud that you hear yourself. Now if you didn't say Allahu Akbar, you just raised your hands and you started namaz. You said Allahu Akbar for ruku, but you didn't enter namaz. So you didn't do a farz, that means your namaz. And if you're doing that for years, you haven't performed namaz. So to know what is farz, what and see that is the blessings of the maktab. This was taught in the maktab, and that's how, what a great ni'mat this is. But we don't appreciate today our maktabs also. We didn't appreciate. Now we integrated with the school and what the children know. Now you're going for a science subject. And then you're going for fiqh. Oh, it's just another subject. So there's no concentration. Children don't know the respect of the fiqh kitab in the first place. It's just like a science book. So anyway, a person must know what is mustahab in namaz, what is those things that will break your namaz, what are those things that are makruh, and then a great personality like Mujaddid al-Fisani, who was the reviver of the second 1,000 years for the ummah. A great person. He wrote to one of his special murid, and he said, according to this humble servant, what I understand of concentration, of devotion, is that you must just know what is farz, what is wajib, what is sunnat, what is mustahab, what will break salah, what is makruh, and just with consciousness and attentive of mind, do all these things. That is concentration and devotion in salah. All what anybody else is thinking that I must be absorbed, I mustn't know, that is certain special qualities Allah grant to His special servants. And very seldom also. It's not that all the time a person is so absorbed, he doesn't know. Like we hear certain incidents of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, our pious elders, how they didn't know what was happening around them in namaz. That is a special gift of Allah. That is not the object of salah. So the object of salah is, like otherwise Hazrat says, that salah, when your heart is not attentive, that this is farz, I'm doing this. This is wajib, I'm doing this. And your heart is not present, you'll miss out a farz and you won't know. And your namaz won't be made, and you think you made namaz. You'll miss out a wajib and you won't even make sajda e sahwa, and your namaz won't be made. So this is very important, and so this is a namaz. Otherwise Hazrat says that a person, outwardly he might look like he's engrossed in namaz, he's concentrating, putting his head down, but he doesn't know what is farz, what is wajib. They say that is a namaz of a munafiq, that is a namaz of a hypocrite. So Allah save us from that type of namaz. So Hazrat further says, now to get this attentiveness, that I'm doing a farz, I'm doing a wajib, you know all this basic masala. What is farz, what is wajib, what is sunnat. But you're not conscious. You just come in namaz, you start. And you see now your mind is all over the show. You're not even conscious that did I say takbir tahreema or not. You ask a person, did you say the first Allahu Akbar? I think I said it. I don't know if I said it. So you are not, your mind was not present. So that presentness, Hazrat says, that will only come, and that will affect the heart only when you do a cause in the zikr of Allah. And that is extremely, and that is why Allah has brought us here. That itikaf, the main object is not the ibadah. The main object is to purify the heart and build that connection with Allah. Then see that 2 rakahs that you will make is far greater than you can be sitting in any other masjid making itikaf. And you say, I made 200 rakats nafal namaz. But you didn't have concentration. Your heart was not present. So that is why first, that a person builds this connection with Allah Ta'ala. And because if the heart is not attentive, then a person doesn't have concentration and devotion. So Father Hazrat mentions, jaisa ke piche bhi bayan kiya gaya, ke is tarah namaz padne mein puri kamyabi, puri kamyabi unhi ko hasil ho sakti hai, jisko dil ko zikr shagal se kuch nisbat ya daas hasil ho chuki. That a person will get real benefit and success in his namaz who has started a cause of doing zikr of Allah Ta'ala. In other words, you come to a company of a sheikh of a wali of Allah, a sheikh that you think this person will guide me to Allah Ta'ala, and you for a regular time, you attend the programs, you listen to what is being taught, you make your zikr regularly, then see, now you will start realizing, this is why I have come into the house of Allah. Otherwise, we're just in the house of Allah, we out, we don't even know. Like you go to somebody's house, you don't say, I went to his house. I went to meet my mother. You don't say, I went to my mother's house. So you came to Allah's house and we didn't meet Allah. So how is that? So if you're not conscious, if you don't do this cause of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're not attentive, where am I going? Then a person won't get that. Now, but this does not mean that a person says that, now I don't have this attentiveness, I won't read my namaz now. I'll first do my course. No, the faraz you have to do. Even if you don't know what is faraz, sunnah, you still have to perform your namaz. However it may be, although Sharia teaches us that before you become matured, you're supposed to be learning the masalas of namaz, etc. That's why we see children in their maktab, they only 8-9 years, they learning the masail of namaz, etc. So this is how our deen is, that before time we must learn what is going to become faraz upon us. Even if you don't have so much money to give zakat now, but you learn the masalas of zakat. You're not going for hajj this year or next year, but you start learning about hajj, then see. Otherwise we see many times people are unmindful, hajj is faraz upon them. Now they're thinking, no, must I go? No, when it's faraz, you have to go. Whether you know or not, even a new Muslim just accepted Islam, now namaz is faraz upon him. He just have to read maybe subhanallah, even if he doesn't know that, he keeps quiet and just see how others are reading, and then slowly he must start learning the basics. So Hazrat says the score is extremely important, and that is why ulama stress it. In the kitabs, you'll get the masail of namaz, and which shariat is dependent on masail. Fazail is to encourage us that how great the shariat is, how great namaz is, and that is why regularly we should read the fazail-e-amal, importance of namaz. If you get lazy for namaz wa jamaat, read that chapter about the importance of namaz wa jamaat for men, etc. But then after that doesn't mean it stops there. Many people, we going out in Jamaat, or even we coming to the Khanka, and we think that, no, now I read the Fazail-e-Amal, I'm a big buzurg. But you don't realize that has encouraged you to go and learn from the ulama. Go and learn now what is the masail. Now you don't want to learn the masail, but you think, no, I'm doing effort of deen. You're far from deen. So to come to here, you will get the reality of deen. And that's what Hazrat explained. In the kitabs of fiqh, you'll get the masala. But you won't get the chapter of how to get connection with Allah. That you will get here in the Khanka by the Mashaykh, by the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, unko to namaz ki takmeel ke liye un umur ki adaigi thori si koshish se hasil ho sakta hai. Aur uske ghair ko jiske dil mein zikr aur khushu nahi hai, uske liye namaz ki adaigi dushwar hai. Jaisa Quran Pak mein hai, namaz khashiin ke alawa dusron par dushwar hoti hai. That if a person does the little effort, that is, realize I need the company of a sheikh, I need the company of a friend of Allah, and I need to be guided how to get connected with Allah. And this is an easy course. When you come here and you sit in the company of the friends of Allah, Allah has brought us here out of this kindness, which means Allah wants to grant us His love. Now pay attention, attend the programs properly from the morning till the night. A person can't reach Allah without climbing the ladder. You have to start from the bottom. Don't say, no, I can't attend this program, I must make my khatam, etc. Many a times a person thinks that, no, I came to the khanka, I couldn't read so many paras. Allah Akbar, Hazrat Mawlana Abrar Haqsab Rahmatullah Ali explained this point very beautifully. One time he was in Haram Sharif, and certain of his friends were there from other countries also, murids. So Hazrat used to have his majlis after Asr. Then some of the murids now were in a dilemma, that after Asr there's more time for tawaf, and there's majlis, now where I must go? And I'm only here for 7-10 days, so if I don't make tawaf, I'll miss out here. And majlis, so they ask Hazrat, and this is the benefit of having a sheikh, to ask, then you'll get guidance. So they ask Hazrat, what must we do? So Hazrat gave, and he was known as Imam-e-Amsila, the Imam of examples. With simple examples used to open our mind and make us understand what deen is all about. So Hazrat says, if you got a problem with your eyes, you can't see properly, and you want to read Quran Sharif, must you first read Quran Sharif or first go to the optician? That you can't see properly, you want to read Quran Sharif, you aren't able to see the words, and you just carry on reading and you go to the optician, what benefit will be there? No benefit, you'll be harming your eyes also. Further, you aren't able to read properly. So first go to the doctor, optician. He will sort out your eyes. Then when you start reading Quran, you say, oh, the words are so clear. So exactly the same. Go first for your spiritual doctor. Go and sit in the majlis. Then you make one tawaf and then see the reality of this tawaf. Otherwise people are making so many tawafs, just round and round, but no reality. It's like a blind man reading Quran Sharif. Although now, alhamdulillah, Allah has given them also the ability they can learn. But first to learn how to do it. So that is why otherwise Hazrat says, if you don't do this course, if you do the course, you'll see it's very easy. As you get the marifat of Allah, now salah is not a burden, it's an enjoyment. Before time, you're looking forward. And that is then you'll understand, that person will get stayed under the arsh of Allah, whose heart is attached for them. Attached to the masjid, that before time you're thinking, hey, I mustn't miss my zohar, I mustn't miss my asr, etc. And if you don't do this course, then Hazrat says, salat is very difficult. That Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا لَلْخَاشِئِينَ, that when it comes to salat, it's like a major thing, like a difficult thing, that some people think, Allahu Akbar, just to take out my socks and make wuzu, what the effort it is. Because you don't know, you haven't did the cause of connection with Allah, the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Once you come to know, then those who got the fear of Allah, those who got this worry that Allah must be happy with me, for them it's very easy. For them to rush for salah, you see now, he's not even worried, he's moving for salah. So this is when a person does this, then it's not difficult for anybody. And then we can understand and realize how important is it to have a spiritual guide. How important is it, and not just to have a sheikh, you take that and then you don't attend the majlis, you don't make your zikr, or few days you make your zikr, and after that itikaf, then few days you got josh and finish. Then again you won't have this connection, and again namaz will be difficult for you. But to continuously, and this is a lifelong effort, because Allah's love and Allah's marifat God is unlimited. And as you progress, we see the pious servants, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taught the greatest ummati, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, the greatest ibadat, namaz. And at the end, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi, oh Allah, I made a great oppression to myself. Which means that there's only progress in namaz. The second thing, dusri baat, ye bhi haqeeqat hai ke zahir ka asar batin par, aur batin ka asar zahir par padta hai. And this is a common thing, anybody can know that the effect of the outside has an effect of the on the inside. And the effect on the inside has an effect on the outside. You see in our daily things also, when it's raining, go and see the salt at home, go and see the sugar, they all become lumpy. It's raining outside, but how it's got effect on that? So a person should realize similarly what our body is, our spiritual effect. Now, many people say that, why must I keep a beard? That my heart is clean. The effect of your outside, if your heart is clean, what is inside is clean, it will affect the outside. You're able to see it, that this person is a clean-hearted. that these, our Shaykh says so beautifully, that many people have this misconception, no, my heart is clean, why must I go show off and read namaz in the masjid? I read my namaz at home. Or why must I wear a topi all the time? Why must I wear a beard? Why must my wife wear parda? Her heart is clean. Hazrat says, in your heart you got all other type of sickness. You got angina. You got all heart pains, and now you're still stuffing the beard there. So what more are you going to call? No, put the beard where it has to be. And the sign that your heart is clean is you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us a beautiful dua. Allahumma jal sarirati khayram min alaniyati. Wajal alaniyati saliha. That, oh Allah, make my inside better than my outside. But make my outside a pious appearance. This is the sign. So both ways are you make your effort on your outside, you start dressing like a pious person, but that is not sufficient. Your heart also has to be now corrected. Otherwise, many times, and that is why we are taught, kunu ma'as-sadiqeen, be with the true righteous servants of Allah. Not just to put on a big show, wear a nice jubba, amama, big sheikh, but in your heart you are not connected to Allah Ta'ala. So both sides, and like Mu'ana Abraul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gave a beautiful example of how you will make out that a person from his outside, you'll make out something is wrong with his inside. He says if your Imam Sahib, who you know for 10 years, used to come namaz with his nice kurta, everything, one day he comes to the masjid naked. Immediately what you say? You say, Mawlana, something wrong with his, he's gone mad. How you know he's gone mad? You saw his outside, that's why you're thinking his mind is gone. So according to your outside, you can make out what is inside. And according to what is inside, every utensil what is inside, that will come out. Like Hazrat says, I don't like to give this terrible example of coke. That outside you got a coke bottle, and it's a label also coke, but inside you got black vinegar. And give your friend an ice cold bottle of coke, which is absolutely harmful. But today, sadly, even in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, where you got the best drink in the world, Zamzam, people say, where's the black Zamzam? Aliyazubillah. How you degrading the name of Zamzam also. Then you give your friend this bottle of coke, he just takes one sip, and he'll spit it in your face. Say, what are you giving me? So outside you got the label of a Muslim, but inside we got something else. So that is not so. This effect of namaz, that is why you have to do your cause of zikr of Allah Rabbul Izzat under the guidance of a sheikh. Agar kalbi khushu or zikr wala thori tawajjuh se zahiri mustahabbat ko ada karega, to uska asar batin ke khushu ko bhi barha dega. And accordingly, if a person wants this concentration and devotion, and with little attention, he pays attention to all those things of salah, even what is outward, for example, mustahab. What is a mustahab of salah, and you pay attention to that, see how it will affect your inside of your life. For example, one day Hazrat was giving a bayan, yeah, it was a nikah bayan, and then the point came up, that if you correct, you look after your gazes in salah, that when you're standing, your gaze should be by the place of sajda. And when you go into ruku, your gaze should be on your feet. When you go into sajda, then your gaze should be looking at the top of your nose. Many times people close their eyes in sajda. No, try and concentrate and look at the top of your nose. When you're sitting in jalsa, that is between the two sajdas in attahiyat position, look at your left. And when you're making salam, look at your shoulders. Hazrat just mentioned this point, and there was a person there who was an old worker in Jamaat, elderly person. Then he phoned Hazrat after 2 months, and he said, Hazrat, Allahu Akbar, you gave me such a remedy in my life that I had this problem of can't control my gazes. Hazrat said, if you control your gazes in namaz, you'll see out of your namaz, you'll be very easy to control your gazes. So he started practicing 2 months. Then he phoned, he said, Hazrat, I'm so long in Jamaat work also. I had this problem that my gazes were not controlled. I just used to look at women all the time. And it just used to affect me so much that I thought if I make a second nikah, my gaze will come under control. I made a second nikah, it still didn't help me. But when I sat in your in that bayan of yours, and now I practice 2 months, the sickness is gone. Alhamdulillah. So if you can control, and in the masjid, it's easy to control your gazes. No woman walking with mini skirt, etc. And if a person learns to control his gazes, Hazrat says the first person will know that who you are controlling your gazes is your wife. She knows very quick whether you glancing. You'll say, no, I'm not glancing, but she may make out very quick. And when the wife know you controlling your gazes, she will start respecting you. And when she starts respecting you, everybody else will start respecting you. And Hazrat says many a times, Allah Ta'ala's system is, who Allah will put in the hearts of people that this is a buzurg. Even you can be a great mufti, you can be a big alim, you can be whoever, Shaykhul Hadith. But Allah doesn't just put in the heart that this is a great wali of Allah. But a person who controls his gazes and stay away from haram, Allah puts in the heart of people that this is a pious man. This is a pious person. So extremely important that a person, if you just, and this is a mustahab act of salah. So if a mustahab act of salah, which is outward, how it will affect your heart, then what can be said of other actions of salah? How great and how magnificent is the other actions of salah. And that also, from here, another important point is derived. Why it is so important to sit in the company of the friends of Allah. Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah Ali said, Yak zamana ba sohbati awliya, better asad salah ta'ad bariyaat. That 1 minute, 1 moment you sit in the company of the friend of Allah, it is better than 100 years of ibadat with ikhlas. That look at this person, he was in work in jamaat for so long, and he still had a problem in his life. And just that 1 moment he sat in that company of our Shaykh and he heard this point, his whole life changed. Allahu Akbar. So much so that Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam, who used to look after his niece, Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, where she was given work for Allah Ta'ala. Her parents gave her work for Allah Ta'ala, that she should be engaged in the ibadat of Allah. Her Zakariya alayhi salam was her mother's brother, paternal uncle. He used to go and look after her. One day when he came into her room, and he saw fruits out of season. There was not time of refrigeration, etc. He saw fruits that are out of season. He said, Ya Maryam, anna laki haza. From where you got this fruit? This is not the season now. She said, Huwa min indillah. This is from Allah Ta'ala. Immediately Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam took inspiration, and it dawned on his mind, if she is getting fruit out of season, why can't I make dua to Allah? That I am an old man, I'm past my age of getting children, I'm over my 90s, my wife is almost 90, I'm in my 100s, and I don't have children. But immediately he made dua, that, oh Allah, if you can bless my niece with fruit out of season, I am out of season for children, you can grant me children also. Allah, and Allah Ta'ala immediately accepted his dua and gave him the sons of Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. So here Hazrat explains that look at that moment. And although generally we know that youngsters take inspiration from elders, but here we see that even an elder can take inspiration from a youngster. That Zakariya alayhi salam was a Nabi of Allah. He took inspiration from his niece at that moment. Although Hazrat explained that generally is that youngsters take inspiration from elders, people will take inspiration from the ulama. It is in them, the ulama, the elder has got it in him. But just for that moment, the thought didn't come. Now that the youngster did something or that student did something, and the ustad, immediately it clicked in his mind that this is something. So that is why just a moment in the company of the friends of Allah, which moment your life will change. And you see, you'll become the friend. So see how the outside affects the inside. How important is it? So misal ke then, Hazrat is explaining here the same point, that misal ke taur par bawakte qiyam sajda ki jagah par nazar rakhna, when you in qiyam put your cast your gazes at the point of where you're going to make sajda. And like Hazrat says, even in the masjid, when you put your eyes on the correct places, where you must focus in namaz, then even a person who will see you in the masjid, you say, ah, this person is namaz, it's good. Otherwise, you see, many times we make salam also, we're not looking on our shoulders, Ahmad bhai is there, he must pay my 200 rand today. So even odd. That person says, yeah, see, his namaz is not dusting. So he doesn't, and when you cast in your gaze on your shoulders, one is make niyat of the kiram and katibin, the secret agents of Allah. Then see, the unseen world of Allah will open to you. That the governments are not controlling the world, Allah is controlling the world. And then you'll see your closest friend can be next door to you, next to you. But when you're making salam, you're looking at your shoulder, you'll say, what a namaz this man has got. And then Allah will put respect. So Allah Ta'ala make us understand and realize, and this is a mustahab. Now imagine if you do your faras properly, if you do your wajib properly, your sunnah, then how much it will affect your namaz. If a mustahab has got so much effect, which is an outward thing, and see how it affects your heart. You just look at your gazes on the right spot, your heart came right. Now you're not casting lustful glances, and not just necessary lustful glances. Just to look around at women, etc., in the bazaars and outside on the street, now you'll see you're able to control it. Firstly, one of our friends told me yesterday also, he says, I thought that I'm not doing it. Now when I listen to the program, I realize I am doing all this wrong. First I thought, no, I don't do it, I don't look around, but you don't even know you're not looking around. So when you do it, that is why we need the company of the friends of Allah. That is why we need the scores of Zikrullah. So bawakte qiyam sajda ki jagah par nazar rakhna, ruku ke waqt kadmo par, aur sajda ke waqt naak ki nok par nazar jamaye rakhne ko amal mein layega, to nazar ki intishar se mahfooz ho jayega. That if a person does this, that at the time of standing, you look at the place of sajda more or less. When you go in ruku, look at your feet, etc. When you go in, you look at your feet. When you go into sajda, look at the tip of your nose. And when you go, when you're making salam on your shoulders, then you may practice on this. You'll see out of namaz, your gazes won't fly around. Now you'll have them under control. Aur namaz huzur-e-qalb ke saath muyassar ho jayega. Now you'll see your namaz will have attention. Now you'll able to have attentiveness in namaz. Otherwise your namaz is just moving around. So a person realizes and understands that just by doing this fear, this mustahab, it has an effect on your heart, then outwardly what effect it's going to have. All the other actions, what effect it will have. And Allahu Akbar, when the heart comes right, then your whole life will come right. People will be shocked. This man now is not even looking at his sister-in-law anymore. He's not looking at his cousins anymore. And now they might pass remarks, but you'll see very soon they'll respect you. And otherwise like that, they wouldn't respect you. Oh yeah, he's a Sufi sahab, he's a Maulana, but he talks to everybody. No, it doesn't work like that. So extremely important, that Hazrat explains here, that how a person, just in a short while, namaz, what effect it will have on your heart, that now it will bring attention, it will bring attentiveness in your namaz also. When you walk in the masjid, now you won't be looking around, you'll be walking, seeing that I'm entering with the right foot, I'm reading the sunnah dua, etc. So like, the one point here, that when you go into sajda, you normally, your eyes, you close your eyes, you don't focus on your nose. One person, Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, and we see all our pious elders, in Ramadan, this should be a special program to learn about Salah. Great wali of Allah, Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, also used to teach his murid that how to perform Salah. And then, when we learn this, in our free time, we reading Nafal Namaz, try and do it, that what I learned today, try and let me practice on it. So the murids there used to practice. One murid used to practice, but when he used to go into sajda, he used to keep his eyes closed and think he's concentrating. Then he saw in a dream that he saw Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with a hoor of Jannat, but she was blind. So he was worried. He went to his sheikh and he asked Hazrat that I saw this dream, but my hoor was blind. Hazrat says, it seems that you are making namaz with your eyes closed. He said, yes, Hazrat, but concentration. Hazrat said, concentration is very good, but sunnat is above that. To make namaz with your eyes open and look at your nose, that is sunnat. So try and do it according to sunnat. So further we learn, jab yeh itna bara faida mustahabbat ki adaigi mein, to sunan wajibat farais ko dhyan se ada karne ki ahmiyat zahir hai. Then it is understood what will be the importance. If a mustahab gives you so much benefit, then how much benefit will a farz give you? How much benefit will a wajib and sunnat give you? So you have to know all those things, and then you'll see attentiveness when you're doing those things. Otherwise you'll be doing a farz, but you won't be attentive. You'll be doing a mustahab and wajib, you won't be attentive. Chunanche unme kotai karne se namaz ka kamal, namaz ka kamal, no, to kya, kabhi namaz bilkul hi ada nahi hoti, aur kabhi nakis reh jati. Hazrat says, if you're not attentive of this, and you're not paying attention to these things, that is what is wajib, sunnat, and then your attention of your heart is not there, then forget namaz being complete, that namaz is remained incomplete and deficient, and so much so that is called a salat in munafiq kehlati. That's called a munafiq salat. Outwardly you looking like you're standing and keeping your head down also, but that is a hypocrite namaz. You're not even attentive that what am I doing? Am I doing a faraz? Am I doing a sunnat, wajib, whatever? جس کے متعلق وعید آئی ہے, and there are great warnings in the Quran Kareem and the Hadith, وہ غفلت والی نماز کے لئے بدعا کرتی ہے. That a person who's reading namaz in an unmindful state, you don't know whether you're doing a farz, a wajib, a sunnat, you are unmindful, that namaz curses you. And if namaz is cursing us, right today we see the problem in the ummah, the masjids are closed, because myself I'm talking of, reading an unmindful namaz. Namaz cursed us, the doors of the masjid closed. So we have to beg Allah Ta'ala, and that is why it's so important, make shukr Allah has given us the itikaf, take great advantage of this. Aur purane kapre ki tarah lapet kar muh par maar di jate, and that namaz is thrown like dirty clothes back onto your face. Allah tells the angels, throw that namaz back onto his face. What is that? اور اگر کوئی فرائض سنن واجبات کی تو پرواہ نہ کرے اور اللہ تعالیٰ کی حضوری ہی میں مستغرق رہے, چاہے اس دوران کوئی وسوسہ بھی نہ آئے, تو وہ نماز کے حکم کو پورا کرنے والا نہیں کہلائے گا, بلکہ شاید ایسے نماز پڑھنے والا زیادہ گنہگار ہوگا کہ یادداشت اور حضوری کے باوجود نافرمانی کر رہا ہے. Anyway, person, اللہ اکبر, outwardly he is absorbed in نماز, putting his head down, but he doesn't pay attention at all to what is farz, what is wajib, what is sunnat, what is mustahab, etc. Then that namaz is, and even if he doesn't get any thoughts coming, he's just attentive, like he's very absorbed, then that namaz is not called a namaz. That namaz is a namaz of a hypocrite. In fact, that person will be more punishable, that you can concentrate and you're not performing salah. And many people got a misconception that namaz, I don't have to go and stand and perform namaz like that. I can just meditate for few minutes and I'm connected to Allah Ta'ala. That is totally false. That is not namaz. A person thinks that, no, me, my namaz, I'm a wali of Allah. Now I read my namaz in Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif. So why don't you eat there? That namaz, in fact, that kind of namaz, you'll be punished by Allah Ta'ala. And that is the worst, so don't fool ourselves. Namaz, the concentration and devotion is to know all the necessary masail, and then for your heart to be attentive. For the heart to be attentive, you need a cause of zikrullah. To learn all the masail, you have to go to the ulama, and like the kitabs are being revised, but go home and then go over it over and over. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding.